The Shared Desk, Episode 17.
Can you believe it? 17. Heading on towards 20. We're heading out of our teenage years.
It's not like it's a landmark 17.
Oh, but it is sometimes.
Hey, everybody. It's time once again for the Parsec finalist of 2012, The Shared Desk.
Sorry.
I am your host, T. Morris.
And I'm your huckleberry.
Hey! And who are you?
I'm the person who talks over your drop-ins. Play your drop-in again.
I'm your huckleberry.
And you are?
Philippa Valentine.
It's time for Don Quixote.
You think I'm him?
No, I think I'm him. You're his horse.
You rode a donkey.
Well, I can't help you there.
That's how it feels in this household sometimes. Yeah, I got some new drop-ins.
Oh,
got
great.
Some new drop-ins.
Why don't I just sit back and let you play with your drop-ins and I'll...
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite?
Anyway.
You got a new show to get drop-ins on.
Yeah, I did. And it is, we're a Parsec finalist this year. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
I mean, I did not expect it. Up against writing excuses, Pendragon, Variety... I remember checking this out. We have been guests or we have hosted
the Dead Robots.
Yeah. Dead Robots, Pendragon, us, and Writing Excuses. Writing Excuses is the only show that we have not been on. And
that means they'll win.
Yeah, that's probably, but we did make a promise that if by some fluke, the Shared Desk
they
comes
get
in
drunk.
From behind. Well, not just that, but also Crazy Uncle Charlie will be accepting the
I don't know if that's
Parsec.
Putting people off or encouraging them not to vote for us.
Honey. Crazy Uncle Charlie is in the he's not only in the wings for tonight's show, he is also on the submission, and we still made
well,
the finalists.
Okay,
so, hey,
there's no accounting for taste. Well,
but what we're here to talk about, we are here to talk a little bit about
because we've been gone for a while.
We have been gone for a while, and it's been crazy.
Well, did you miss us?
Yeah, well, I did. I miss doing this. But I mean, the last time we were on, we were here with the lovely PJ Schneider, found at pjschneider.com, and we were talking about the tough choices that we make.
Killing characters.
And then of course, we talked about other stuff, of course, but the one thing that we didn't talk about is what happens, particularly with fans, when the author decides they're going to end a series.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, John, no.
I'll drive.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're at that point where you say, this is the end, this
you're
is
gonna make
really
me cry.
The end, I got to segue over to you.
I miss my friends.
Seriously, Lana, call Kenny Loggins because you're in the danger zone.
Get to the point, Valentine. Get to the
well,
point.
Well, on the 1st of August, I finished off the first draft of the final book of the Order, Harbinger, which should be out.
The final book in... We'll
four book
it.
Series.
In this four book series.
In this four book series.
Right.
And I've been writing it since I started writing Geist in 2007, the end of 2007. So we're coming up on... 5 years with these characters, so it's this is the longest series I've ever written, so it's all new to me.
Right, but at the same time, how did it feel? How did it feel when you wrapped up Harbinger, this draft of Harbinger?
Yeah, because it's not done yet.
It is far from done.
The first draft is done. I felt like I left the characters in a good place, so that was okay. I mean, there were no happy endings, but there was a little bit of closure for them all. But I was writing them, and as I was writing the last scene, it was kind of started to strike me that I was going to be leaving them behind after this, you know. After the editing is done, I'm going to completely leave them behind. But then I thought to myself, I can always do short stories and novelettes.
Now, the closest you've come to doing something like this was when you were doing... you didn't really come up with a name for it, but basically it was the dual Chasing the Bard and Digital Magic.
Yeah, there was only two, but there were, I mean, Spectre was also, Wraith is the third book, and I've never done a third book before either.
Okay, so how is it different wrapping up? Did you feel that it was easier wrapping up the Digital Magic a saga, as it were, in two books, because it was just a two book series, and because you put so much distance between the characters of the first book and the second one? Or did this one feel a little more, I have vested more time, more detail, more emotion, more emotion in these characters? Well, because unlike the difference between Bard and Magic, there was no huge gap of time.
Yeah.
This was, you were following these characters pretty closely.
Yeah, these were consistently a group of characters that I followed through for four books. So it did feel very different from writing Digital Magic and Chasing the Bard.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only character that crossed over was Puck.
Right.
And for some reason, Puck, because he's a sort of a chaotic character, I don't feel like I'm so worried about him.
The guy's one lab accident away from being a supervillain.
But he wasn't a supervillain.
No, he wasn't a supervillain. But you know what? It's weird because you spend a lot of time with these characters, and I feel like at the end of Digital Magic, Puck was okay. He could go off and do whatever he likes. It was it's fine. Whereas with these characters, I'm worried what they're going to get up to when I finally finish the book. It sounds crazy. It sounds like I've got people living
sound
in
like
my
you've
head.
Got people, you got, it sounds like you got the voices.
But
it sounds like you have voices.
I don't.
In your head.
But I do. I know. But you think about. I mean. When you're a writer, you think about those characters probably more than you think about people in your actual life.
True.
How much time do you think about, you know, the motivations and what's going on in their head and what they're worried about? How many real people do you actually spend that much time worrying about and thinking about and considering?
And you've grown attached to these characters. You've grown very attached to these characters. But what I'm arguing is that This is the last book, but not necessarily the last book of the order. This is the last book that may be featuring Sorsha and Raid and Merrick and Zovia.
Yeah.
I mean, you're wrapping up their stories, but there are some authors that will take other characters, take descendants of characters, and build on that even further. You know, Terry Brooks does it.
Yes, I knew you were going to say Terry Brooks. I think if I went back to the order, I would probably only do it in short stories and novels, unless, of course, they come screaming to me, throwing copious amounts of money at me. I'm sure I could find some way around
currency
that.
Always has a way of greasing the wheels, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think
it?
I wouldn't mind, you know, once this book's properly edited and done and out the door, then I might well do some short stories and novellas maybe next year after, to coincide with Harbinger coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It just feels a very weird sensation that I've never quite experienced as a writer before.
Did you realize or did you understand at the very beginning that this was going to be a four book series?
No, I thought it was going to be two. Well, see, I wrote Geist, got the contract, and then I wrote Spectre. And at that stage, I was only signed for two. And you notice how the end of Spectre was a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Deliberately done. And luckily for me, Ace said, we want another two books.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know how many four book series there are. Usually it's a trilogy. Don't you think, in fantasy?
In fantasy, yeah. Well, actually, no. Now, and I think that might have been why fantasy kind of took a nosedive for a while in sales, because when you started reading a fantasy series, it was an investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like you would. And once upon a time, yes, it was three books, and then you were done. Well, now it's more about, okay, you know, you have a fantasy series, it starts to sell. Well, why don't I make it a six book series?
Yeah,
let's make it an eight book series, and then you start milking the cow for as long as you can produce milk.
Because I have actually had somebody say, "Well, isn't it?" So I thought it was just a trilogy. So there is still, I guess, in the old mindset, you know, the concept of the trilogy.
Well, you want to keep,
because you got Lord of the Rings,
right?
I mean,
but you want to keep it going, though. Now here's another question for you. Now you may notice that I am staying quiet during this episode, because when it comes to ending a series,
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite?
True. I mean, I have never done that.
You've finished a series.
I have never finished a series. I was going to wrap up a series, and I left it on a massive cliffhanger. That book was called Legacy of Moravia, and I look back on that and think to myself,
You ever get tired of being wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I
well, stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah, stuff happens. Like falling out with your co-author, and
you better never let that happen again.
No, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, it's something that I'm actually trying to prepare for, because I know that when I look at when I look at the Ministry of Peculiar Currencies,
which is never ever going to finish.
Is that what you've decided?
You like these
characters.
I like writing them.
They're fun. They're fun.
I would write.
But eventually we have to wrap it up.
I think, yeah, I've heard some, who was it?
It was Kat Kerr. It was Catherine Kerr. Who,
oh, yes.
Who
there are several...
wrapped up, she wrapped up her one series with what? 12, 15?
Something like that. She was done. She was done.
And even she said, I'm done. I'm done.
No. And also, Laurie, our agent, sort of said 8 books is generally speaking.
That's like a sweet spot.
Where the juice starts to run out of a series. Yeah. So if we got 8 books of the ministry,
good Lord. I'd be fine. If we got 8 books out of the ministry, I would be more than happy.
Yeah, I would think 5 and I'd still be pretty happy.
I know we have 5 outlined. Yeah. I know we have 5 outlined, and I know that we have a overarching story that happens within the and you see, and I like that. I like that in a series where
there's something bigger going on.
Yeah, there's something bigger going on, but you can still pick up the book and go, oh, okay, I'm tracking with everything here.
Yeah. I mean, that's with the books of the order, each of the first 3 books are dealing with a specific geist and a specific problem.
Right.
Like a case, really.
Right.
For the order. And the final book is the fruition of the evil genius, perhaps you would say. The fruition of his plan in the 4th book. Well, in the end of the 3rd book...
You better know this because wrote the thing.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to, try not to be spoilerific. At the end of the 3rd book,
well, actually,
he sets off something that...
Right.
That does stuff.
It does,
and then
this.
The 4th book is the tidy up.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah,
I mean, in a sense, we've already been dealing with this. We just went last night to go see The Dark Knight Rises, and what was really ingenious about the way they set up The Dark Knight Rises was they went back and they kept referencing.
Yeah, that
first,
was nice.
The first.
Well, you'd have to do that in books
film.
As well, because some people forget or people might not have read the 1st book, so you've got to say, as you know, Tom.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, it was very nice in the way that they were tying things together from the first 2 films and making it work to create this 3rd film. I think it wrapped up the series quite nicely. Granted, there were a few little things that were going, wait a minute, how did he do XYZ? And all I can think is offshore account. I mean, that's the only way he the way Bruce Wayne got stuff done was pretty much the offshore accounts.
He phoned the Caymans.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's got to be how it happened.
But I will notice. I can tell you that. I think this is probably going to get picked up in edits and stuff. There were bits where I got to the end and I handed it off and I was thinking, well, that guy from like book 2, whatever happened to him? So I have a feeling when I go back and edits, I'm going to be right. And that guy from book 2, a stone fell on his head
there
and
you
died.
Go. And there it is.
And
end.
He was dead.
Wrong answer.
I mean, this is tricky though. You're basically taking all the dangly bits from your previous books and you're tying it up, kind of like the way J.K. Rowling wrapped up the Harry Potter series.
I can see why, but I can also see why, honestly, why people kill off characters, because they're like,
it's easier to deal with.
What is this guy? What is the purpose of this guy that we've had? Just whack him.
Just whack him. Just take him outside. Boom. You're done. Why not? Why not?
Stay on target. Stay on target.
So, going back to you wrapping up your series.
Yes.
Instead of having it be a George R. Martin-esque bloodbath.
Yes.
What do you think is easier? Do you think it's easier leaving your characters languishing in pain? Or do you find it cheesy? Because there are some authors that find it a little cheesy to give people happy endings.
I don't know. I sort of vacillate. I did consider killing people. I have killed some people in this book. But I like to give characters happy endings, but not total happy endings.
Right.
Because in life, people seldom get everything that they want. So we shall see. Besides, my editor might decide, hey, they should all die at the end. I want to see it like Hamlet. I want to see blood. I want to see a foreign invader coming in.
I'm picturing pixie-esque little Danielle, your editor, going, I want blood. I want entrails. I want death. D-E-T-H, death. Write it. You know?
Don't joke about it. Could happen.
Yeah, it probably could, yeah.
So, it is. It's a hard thing to talk about, but I got there. That was what's important.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what would be the parting advice you would give to someone that's like, okay, how do I plan out a series? When do I know? Ah, there we go. That's the gem I want you to leave with our listeners.
Okay.
When do you know you're done? And don't you dare say when the contract's out, okay? You're not allowed to say that, okay?
Wrong answer!
I want an honest answer from you before you leave the stage.
Well, I'll give you a literary one. Yeah. When the character's arc is complete, Saoirse has made the change from being a cold-hearted bitch in the first one and come to realization about who she is, what role her friends and her lovers and everything plays in her life, and she's a different, stronger person that has gone through the fire than the person at the beginning of the series.
And that's the gem.
Yes, completion the of gem. The arc.
Sounds good.
Writing advice from Crazy Uncle Charlie. Well, I have to say we're now going from the sublime to the ridiculous. But Uncle Charlie has crawled out from wherever we keep him in here. I dare not ask. But we asked on Twitter for some questions for you, Charlie. And we got a couple of good ones. I think you can really add something, hopefully, to these vast, important questions of being a writer. So from Alistair Stevens, Paper Bullets is his handle on Twitter. How do you make sure you're showing, not telling? Also, what are your suggestions for writing peyote-fueled dream sequences? It's right up your alley. Charlie,
no.
Did you hear the question?
Run.
Questions.
Before I answer that question, I just have to say something. My God, you're a beautiful woman. Do you have any idea how beautiful you are?
It could be constituted as sexual harassment, Charlie.
Phenomenal.
Just stick to the questions.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Okay, the first one is: how do you make sure you're showing, not telling, in writing?
Showing, not telling. Okay. Showing, not telling. I'm glad you asked that, Paper Numbnuts. I appreciate you asking the ethical question that plagues all authors. Showing, not telling. And the answer that you seek is beyond your reach. It is beyond the reach of mortal man. You will hear that asked again. Show, not tell. Show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. What's the difference between showing and telling? And they don't have the answer. You know why they don't have the answer? Because they don't want you to have the answer. The man is out to get you. The system is out to get you. Everyone
Charlie,
is out to get you.
Charlie.
However, show, don't tell actually answers the question when it's asked. Think about it. Do you want to show someone a beautiful diamond ring, or do you want to tell someone about the diamond ring? It's a bit like this. Example, he handed the lady a lovely diamond ring, flawless, the stone as big as his thumbnail, and it gleamed in the sunlight. Or would you rather show them the ring? He slipped the ring on her finger. The light catching the stone and all its facets, blinding her for a moment as the size of the stone resembled her actual digit. But the man is still out to get you. He wants you to fail.
What about the second question? Charlie, what about the second question? I'm terrified about the answer of this one. Also, what are your suggestions for writing peyote-fueled dream sequences?
Oh, those were the days. Those were the days. My advice is definitely a lot of orange juice. Lots and lots of orange juice. Next question. Winning.
Oh, okay, that was shorter than expected. So Gucci26 on Twitter said, I finally finished my book. What do I do now?
So you finally finished the book, did you? I bet you think you're just this hot little F-16 of awesome, don't you? You finished your book. Let me tell you something about finishing a book. You know when you know what you need to do when you finish your book? You take the book, you put it in a nice little portfolio, a little PVC, you know, that smell, that lovely PVC. Excuse me a minute. Okay, so you wrap it up in PVC, and you shove it in between your mattresses. And then you make sure that no one other than your cats sleep on that bed. I want you to let those cats sleep, roll, do whatever they do. Do whatever cats do on mattresses. And just leave that story there. The other thing you should do with your manuscript before submitting it is give yourself some time. Consider the people that you've been neglecting. Consider your loved ones. Consider your friends. Go out. Be social. Buy a beer or two. Go on out and live your life. Because when you return back to your manuscript, you will have a fresh set of eyes that will be able to see all the nuances that is in that story waiting to blossom. But after it's been in there, after it's been in the mattresses for about 2-4 years, you don't even want to come near it. You know why? Because it will melt your eyeballs out of your sockets, and it will turn you into a puddle of goo. The only thing you need to do is call me, Crazy Uncle Charlie. I can handle it. I am full of the awesome that can handle that manuscript, pull it out, and make it into the gem that it truly is. Duh! Winning! Really don't like that segment, do you?
I think I need to wash my mouth out with something.
I didn't even get to do it with the shades. I mean,
I know.
Usually when I do it with the shades, I feel like I can get into the character a little better.
I'm always disturbed.
So, Parsecs.
Yes,
the 2012 Parsecs. We're gonna close a bit talking about the Parsecs. We are having a pretty banner year with the Parsec Awards.
Yeah, last year was very quiet. This year we seem to be making up for it.
Yeah, I guess we are. We're
going to be a dragon.
We had one nomination last year, and it was from Nathan Lowell.
Yes.
But this year...
We weren't at Dragon Con last year. That's what it was.
Well, that must be what it is. But we also had more to nominate. That was the other thing.
Mm.
But we managed to shut out all the competition from the Short Story Small Cast Awards.
Uh-huh.
And every finalist is from the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.
The Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences podcast is going to win a
Parsec. We can now say that Tales in the Archives is a Parsec winning, an award winning podcast. So that's just gravy.
It's just a matter of who wins on that.
Exactly. Then we have me. Two nominees. Then we have...
you didn't hear that.
Yeah, I did. I think we all did. I think we did.
Sound off like you got a pair.
So...
got a pair of something.
Yeah, yes, you do. So, yeah. Anyway, so we had that. And then we also have two nominations in short story large cast. That was Starla Hutchins...
From Paris with Regret.
From Paris with Regret. And then we had The Seven from P.C. Herring.
Mm-hmm.
So those are finalists for the Parsecs there. And then... Tales from the Archives, that is up for Best Anthology. That's got some stiff competition.
Nice to be nominated.
It is. No, it's, look, we're walking away with at least one.
Now then,
we're walking away with at least one.
Then there's the crazy one.
Then there's this one. The fact that the show.
This podcast. Standing in right now.
But you know what? You nominated it, and we can't thank you enough for nominating the shared desk. We do. I mean,
your check's in the mail.
But yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
Wow.
That could be part of next year's submission for a Parsec.
There we go, yeah.
But we're up against some pretty stiff competition there. I mean, we've been on all but one of those podcasts, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great to be nominated. It's even better when you make the finalists.
Mm.
But the fact that we are in the finalists in so many different categories, well, first off, thank you to the Parsec committee.
Yeah.
Thank you, the loyal fans for you know listing us for you know getting
us up
there, yeah, and for hooking us up. Now,
and we're going to be there as well.
We are going to be at DragonCon.
I hope we don't get to present those categories that we're nominated in.
Yeah, find. Yeah, that's
our advice. Look a little worrying.
That's our advice to the Parsec Awards. Please, please, please find a category that we're not nominated in.
there are a few.
There are a few. So now DragonCon is the only place we're going to be in August.
No, August is
so
mad.
So what's happening this week?
Well, we're going to New Orleans.
Or New Orleans for those of you in the north. So yeah, we're going to New Orleans for what?
Authors After Dark.
Yeah, Authors After Dark.
Created by the awesome Stella Price.
Yep. She is,
she's been a little tornado of energy, that girl.
And she has graciously asked us to pinch hit for some people that couldn't make
it. Yeah,
we
wanted to be involved, but we got on the bandwagon a little late. So we were like, okay, well, next year we'll go to Savannah.
We're going to go
to
Savannah.
But then Stella said, hey, some folks have dropped out. Would you like to come? And we're like, yeah.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, we'll go on ahead and do
I've never
that.
Been to Louisiana, and I believe that there will be lots of people like True Blood wandering around the street.
No, I'm telling you, there are
Eric Northmans.
No,
there'll be plenty of Eric Northmans.
No.
Okay, I'll take some.
You're gonna get tired of being wrong.
I mean, really,
I'll take a couple of Vampire Bills, even.
Wrong answer.
Are you going to say that I'm going to be sorely disappointed?
You are going to be so disappointed. I'm trying to get it in your head.
Oh, if only they were doing the Mr. Romance cover like they do in RT.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Seriously, this is not that kind of convention.
But it could be.
I'm giving you that one. Okay, so basically we got Authors After Dark.
On my birthday.
Week. On your birthday. Happy
You've
birthday.
You've forgotten about
actually,
my birthday.
This is dropping on you. What do you think NOLA is? That is your birthday present. Happy freaking birthday. It's the birthday present where I can write it off the taxes. But
jeez. How long have we been married?
Stay on target.
And that is when this show is going to drop. It's going to drop on your birthday. So you also got a podcast. Happy birthday. Now, following.
If he doesn't come back from New Orleans, no one will be... I don't want to be surprised.
But why is the rum gone?
So after we get back from NOLA, we then have
a steampunk extravaganza.
Steampunk extravaganza
in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Why am I talking like this? I have no idea. It's the Midtown Scholar, the home of Watch the Skies book group, and it's featuring. I'll be moderating a steampunk panel with the lovely Pip Ballantyne on it.
Who may be talking to you still.
Yeah, maybe. Sitting next to Pip will be the lovely Sarah Hunter from Brute Force Studios.
Who I'll be talking to.
Yes. Sitting next to Sarah will be either the lovely Steve Walker or the lovely and impeccably dressed Jared Axelrod from Battle of Blood and Ink, A Fable of the Flying City, graphic novel from Tor Books. And we're going to be there talking about steampunk. And we're going to be...
The deuce, you say.
The deuce I do say. And that's going to be on August 25th. You can also get details on that by looking up Watch the Skies, Harrisburg, PA. Just do Watch the Skies, Harrisburg, PA, and
we've
Google.
Also got details on our Facebook pages. And
And then at the end of the month, we can has Dragon Con. Dragon Con.
Atlanta.
Hotlanta, Georgia.
It's been 5 years.
Has it really been 5 years?
Oh, no, it's been 4 years. Sorry.
Okay.
4 years. Still a long time.
Yeah. It's been a while. And the reason why we're going there instead of Worldcon is because Pyre Books.
And Luanders will be there.
And
we are sort of gravitationally obliged to be anywhere where Luanders
yes.
is.
Yes. That's
We must orbit his awesome.
Yeah, there we go. So that is, that's where we're going to be. Huh. In August, and guess what? We're still not done because we've got some stuff coming up in September, like the
Baltimore
Book Festival, and then we also have FenCon. We're going back to FenCon, the
Dallas Fort Worth.
The guest of honor there is CJ Cherry, and because she's gonna fangirl, I'm going to stay as far away from her after what happened with Felicia Day.
Yeah, because I've been a fan of CJ Cherry. Even longer.
Yes.
Much longer.
And if I just...
So I might kick you into orbit.
Yeah. I will not get in her way, because if I got in her way...
Hip rage!
By
bite my sweet ass. Right.
So I couldn't go through the show without not blaming that.
There's got to be some pit rage. I'm kind of out of pit rage, but I might be stocked up again come September. So.
Well, you know, just remember to keep the pit rage at bay. Just remember that the shared desk is licensed by the 3.0 Creative Commons, no attribution, no derivatives, share alike. 3.0, as I said earlier, license, United States of America, represent. There you go!
Wow, it only took like 17 episodes for you to get that right.
But I got it. It doesn't matter, I got it. And we've been out of practice, so the fact that I pulled that out of my butt is pretty damn good. And on that note, this very brief, wow, we're just cracked the 31-minute mark.
Wow, people would wonder what's wrong with us.
Exactly. You know what's wrong with us? We got a trip to plan for.
We
need to post this puppy.
Get on a plane.
Get to NOLA.
Eat some crawfish.
Until then, hey, I'm T. Morris.
And I think I'm Philippa Ballantyne.
And we hope that you enjoy the ride.
Catch you later.